people are sharing their stories with one another, that we have a greater chance of touching other people's lives.
A class in Haines inspires people to tell their stories through personal movie making. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and much more after this news. Two environmental groups have declared their intention to argue the state's new cruise ship wastewater discharge permit in court. The Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters and Friends of the Earth this week filed a notice of intent to appeal to the state superior court. They say the Department of Environmental Conservation violated a new state law by not requiring cruise ships to use more technologically advanced wastewater treatment systems. That law was passed last year, 3 years after voters approved a ballot initiative establishing stricter environmental rules for cruise ships. It gave cruise ship companies until 2015 to comply with the voter-adopted rules, but requires companies to use systems that are the most technologically effective and are economically justifiable. The groups declare that when DEC authorized large commercial passenger vessels to discharge wastewater in Alaskan waters, it erred by failing to require those vessels to use economically feasible methods of pollution prevention, control, and treatment the department considers the most technologically effective. The state already rejected the group's request for an administrative review of the permit in July, saying the groups didn't prove the treatment system they prefer is the best choice for all of the ships. KHNS Radio's general manager recently resigned from his position, adding one more vacancy in the radio station's staff roster. Dr. Russ Bowman is president of the board of Lynn Canal Broadcasting, which governs business of the nonprofit radio station.
The general manager, John Hedrick, has resigned. Basically, management differences with the board, and Georgia Giacobbe and Leslie Ross are co-managing the station in the interim. The board's goal is to, you know, maintain programming on the station and maintain the staff, and at some point in the future, we'll be hiring a new general manager.
Former manager John Hedrick took the position, which he had held before, more than a year ago, after Judy Erickson left the station to become a business manager at the Haines School. Bowman explains the type of manager the board will be looking for next.
The board is looking for, you know, somebody who can get their, not strategic goals, that's the board's job, but their day-to-day goals across with the staff, and have the staff go ahead and carry those out. And that's not to say that John didn't do it, it was just the style was just not compatible with what the board was looking for.
It's one of several positions at the station that's opened in the last year, says Bowman. The station recently filled two positions and is now looking to fill two more.
The general manager position is open, and the program director position is open. And the program director position has actually been open for a while now, and the board is going to be very deliberate, and we're going to take our time with hiring. We're not going to rush into this. You know, we're going to make the best selection we can, and with the two interim managers that we have that luxury to be able to do that.
Bowman says the board will be advertising for a new manager locally and out of town, much like they did for the last manager search.
When we had a recruiting position open for the general manager, when that was open over a year ago now, we had folks from all over the country. The limiting factor was, one, was the salary we're able to offer because we're a small nonprofit, and two, is the cost of living here. And both those together, make for our pool a bit smaller, because we're not able to attract folks who, you know, may have families that they still need to care for and provide for, that sort of thing. We had, I want to say, 5 or 6 applicants, and they were from all over the country as well as locally.
Dr. Bowman has served on the volunteer board for just over a year now. He says he's new to radio, but not to the duties on the board of a nonprofit.
I have board experience in the past, and there's always going to be issues of some sort, whether they're personnel or programming or funding, that a nonprofit has to deal with, and that's just the nature of the organization. Plus, we're in a rural area, so your pool of candidates or qualified folks is going to be smaller just because of where we are. You know, cost of living, salaries that are being offered, all factor into, you know, the kind of candidates that that a small nonprofit can attract.
In addition to a small group of part-time and full-time paid staff, KHNS also relies on a long list of volunteers for day-to-day operation and local programming. Bowman says listeners should not expect interruptions or programming changes during the transition.
Well, right now, I think, you know, we're certainly going through a transition period, but I'm very hopeful that we've got some, you know, the people that are on staff are very enthusiastic, have lots of great ideas, and have not burned out. You know, they're still very, very enthusiastic about the station and the organization itself. So I think we're in good stead right now as far as our staffing goes.
The station's annual membership drive fell short of its goal of $60,000 this year. Membership also dipped from 2009's all-time high, but nearly matched the 2008 number.
The story out there is that, you know, obviously we did not make the fundraising goal. However, Corporation for Public Broadcasting always encourages its member stations to shoot higher than realistically they think they can attain. Last year we did very well. This year, not so well. You know, everybody blames the economy. I think that's certainly part of it. But also it's how people feel at the time that they're asked to give money. You know, are they happy with the programming of the station at the time? And if so, then they're going to give some money. If they're not so happy, rather than complain about the programming, they may just choose not to give or not give as much. You know, so there's, I think there are a lot of factors that play into how people are able to contribute to the station.
The board is responsible for hiring a new general manager and is also involved in managing the station's budget. Bowman says even after the fundraiser shortfall, the budget is not a concern.
We have money in the bank. You know, we're not in the red or anything, and we're working on budget projections right now to see how we're going to be looking. But from our last board meeting, we're doing okay.
This Sunday, live chickens might be among the congregation at the Haines Presbyterian Church. It's all part of a special service that's designed to be like a church service in Kenya. Al Badgley was one of the chaperones that accompanied a group of Haines kids on a mission trip to Kenya this summer.
Probably the biggest thing is the offering, which is a little different than any offering I've ever experienced here, is because they have what they call the first fruits offering all the time. And pretty much, if you don't want to bring monetary offering, you bring something that you either grow, make, or you have. And then at the end of the actual offering time, they auction it off to people, and they use that for offering.
Badgley says he plans to bring smoked salmon this Sunday and has heard there might also be homegrown flowers, potatoes, and...
And one person even was trying to figure out a way to bring a chicken, because in Kenya, actually someone brought a live chicken.
The kids will also show home video of the traditional dancing and singing that precedes Kenyan services. Kenyan-grown coffee will be served, and the first fruits offering money will go to Kenya. The Kenyan-style service is Sunday, August 29th at 10 a.m. at the Haines Presbyterian Church. As always, services welcome the public. The Southeast Alaska State Fair holds its annual membership meeting this weekend, followed by a barbecue and concert to thank people who volunteered at this year's fair. Kelly Hostetler is fair director. She points out that 15 paid members are required to attend the meeting in Harriet Hall, according to fair bylaws. Altogether, there are almost 90 members of the nonprofit.
The board president will give her report. We'll have the facilities report, the policy report, the finance report, and then the director's report. There's no decision making. It's not a regular meeting. It's the annual meeting. We'll elect new board seats that are vacant or up for renewal.
At least one seat is expected to be open on the fair board this year. To be elected, candidates must be current members of the fair. Following the annual meeting, and also in the fairgrounds Harriet Hall, is a volunteer appreciation dinner. But the party is open to the general public.
So volunteers eat free and get a concert by the swing set. Non-volunteers, $5 for a barbecue and concert.
Southeast Alaska State Fair members are encouraged to attend the meeting of the membership at 5:30 p.m. Saturday, August 28th at Harriet Hall in the fairgrounds. The barbecue and concert starts at 6:30 Saturday. A free class in Haines gives residents a chance to make a personal movie about a part of their lives. It runs Sunday through Tuesday at the Haines Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall and is sponsored by Search.
We will be doing a digital storytelling class where people will have an opportunity to put together a story that their heart has been wanting to share with other people.
Renee Matheson is a health educator for the Search Clinic. She'll be leading the class, which is open to all adults and kids 14 and older. People should come to the class with a 300-word story drafted.
That will talk about maybe a challenge that they've overcome, a health challenge, and they need to bring pictures either on a travel drive or pictures that we can scan in for them. Then we will help them learn how to use a Windows-based computer to put their story into Movie Maker and using Audacity to record their voice and put some music to it and create a little movie about their particular story.
Search works to promote good health in Southeast Alaska and has a series of clinics in some of the region's towns and villages. But Matheson says their work often goes beyond the clinic.
It helps us because when I tell you that you need to come in and have your a biometric screening done, then I'm going to poke your finger and I'm going to tell you what blood looks like and what your blood pressure looks like. That may not challenge you, but when somebody sits there and tells you a story of how they overcame, maybe they were becoming pre-diabetic, and they tell their story in very moving words of how they overcame the challenge and got their blood sugars in line, or how they got their hypertension in line, or how they overcame alcoholism, or how they begin to fit into a place. Other people can relate to those stories, and we find that if people are sharing their stories with one another, that we have a greater chance of touching other people's lives and helping them to move to a place where maybe they will want to work on their own health and wellness.
Anyone who wants to participate in the digital storytelling class can call Renee in advance at 907-738-0374 or contact Fred Brulette in Haines. People who want to join should bring their story, photos, music, a headset, and Windows-based laptop with the free programs Movie Maker and Audacity. A scanner, microphone, and a limited supply of internet, laptops, and headsets will be provided. The three-day digital storytelling class runs 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, 9 to 5 on Monday and Tuesday. It's at the A&B Hall in Haines. I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. Thanks for listening.